This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Joan Baez for you. Remember her? All you counterculture hippies back in the 60s. Now you're all about 70 years old. You remember going out in 1969 to that great concert in New York? And she was there, among others. I think there was about 150, 175,000 people in those concerts back in the late 60s. Oh, yeah. Remember the tie-dyes and the Volkswagen buses and all that kind of thing? Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. And along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday, September the 8th already. Wow. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Christopher Koopman of the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State. And we're going to talk about Facebook's decision to block political advertising the week before the election. Now, why would they do that? Why would they allow advertising up to a week before and then stop it? We'll find out as we talk with Chris Koopman. And Donald Trump goes on the offensive as the election season really starting for real now. Meanwhile, the Atlantic Monthly magazine says its story about Trump smearing the military is, quote, just the beginning. Just the beginning, unquote. What else are they going to say? We're going to talk about all of this with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci. He always has got an energetic thought. And in another edition of Campus Quackery, two tales from Washington and Lee University. So stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest mystery movies. Mystery movies. Do you think you know what they are? Got to stay tuned for that as well. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcash Drive. But you got to call, you guys, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Lest we forget, always, always great to follow Good Morning Clearwater with Paul and Tracy. They got a lot of energy, don't they? It's always fun to listen to. You gotta get up early in the morning, but well worth it. 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, Good Morning Clearwater. Well, we got a lot going on. Did you guys watch? I know we had a hockey game last night for you people in Tampa Bay. I think we won it like, what, 8-1? It was like one side, 8-2, excuse me. Let's give the credit where credit is due. Poor New York Islanders. I mean, before they turned around, Ed, that one guy for the Lightning that is coming on scored a goal like within a minute and a half of the opening.
Braden Point.
Yeah. Boy, did he look good. Skating around
like...
Yeah,
I don't think they knew what hit them last night.
No, they didn't. So we're going to celebrate that. I got my Lightning jersey on. I'm very much a Fairweather fan. But maybe we'll talk a little bit later about that. In the meantime, as we said, Donald Trump is hitting the campaign trail. You know, he's out. He's going to be in some locale away from the White House today. And, you know, the guy's got so much energy. I wonder how much... I think Biden is doing a virtual somewhere, which means he's not moving. But he'll be on the, you know, whatever they use that gets you on the internet. And then they project you on the screen. That's what he's going to be doing. Trump has touted the U.S. economic recovery in the wake of the coronavirus problem, claiming his administration could create up to 10 million new jobs next year. Wow. In the meantime, he was slamming Biden, calling him a pawn for China. I mean, he does kind of go over the top. Joe Biden's not a pawn for China. He can't even speak Chinese. Of course, his son can. His son went over there, had to learn Chinese to get all that money, maybe.
Well, Biden came out and gave us some insightful info yesterday.
Tell us.
Joe Biden said, we need to find a vaccine quick.
Ah, let me write that down.
He's joined the party now.
Let me write that down. Well, you know, this man is also a historian. He reminded us that a black man invented the electric light bulb, mm-hmm. which was great.
You never know what you're going to hear from him.
No. And you don't hear a lot because when he puts a mask on and he's talking, doesn't mm-hmm. he look kind of stupid? I'm sorry, but doesn't he look stupid? Well. He's standing there and there isn't anybody within 35 feet of him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the mask. Is he trying to impress us?
Yes. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, he's not. Let's tell somebody to tell him he's not.
By the way, just flashed on the screen that UC San Francisco University has come out with a nanobody that blocks COVID-19.
Really?
So I think this thing is going to pop very soon, I guess, from what we're seeing here.
Well, that would be certainly in Donald Trump's interest. As a matter of fact, he brought that up again, you know, during his little press conference yesterday, that he says maybe by the end of October. Now, I think he's hoping for that, but, you know, forgetting politics, it would be wonderful to get this thing over with. We're going to save a lot of lives here. You know, let's just get it out there. And I know we will. Everybody believes we will, I think. Just a matter of when.
Yeah, and you know Biden's going to take care of that. Credit for that, because he said, remember, I came out and said we need a vaccine. We got one.
Biden has also volunteered Nancy Pelosi to take the first shot to see if it works. I think that's good. They're going to administer it to her through a hairdryer. Did you know that?
No. Yeah, it's going to be in a shot glass.
Ah, I was mistaken.
She's used to those.
I see. Well,
mix it in with her vodka.
I wonder how many times we're going to see Nancy Pelosi, that tape of her creeping across the salon floor. Remember that one?
Did you see
leaving one room and stepping down into another?
Did you see that people donated how much money for the salon owner to move?
Several hundred thousand.
300,000.
That's great. She's really appreciative. She's got more money now than she ever had in her life. What the hell? Anyway, here's the deal. If Biden wins, according to Trump, China wins. I'm not sure I buy it, but he says that. He says because China will own this country. Okay, Donald, you're going a little overboard. I don't think they're going to own it right away. Maybe in his third year as president, you know. I don't know. But he does talk that way. And he did bring up Hunter, Deer Hunter. I noticed that Biden brings up his other son, the one that unfortunately passed away.
He wants sympathy.
Who sounded like a good guy, by the way, from all I can understand. I'm not sure Hunter had the same makeup, you know, with all of the things he's done. But you don't hear much about Hunter. Maybe I say that Joe should take Hunter with him when he goes across the country campaigning. I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah, take the news off of him.
All right. We are going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Facebook and its desire or its decision to cancel any political advertising 1 week before the election. We'll do it with Chris Koopman.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting. Beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Tuesday. And I'll tell you what, everything political is really starting to kick into gear. Delighted to have Christopher Koopman join us. He is Executive Director of the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State University. And we're going to talk a little bit about Facebook and its decision to block any new advertising the week before the election. Chris says the decision is misguided and wrong. Why is that, Chris?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on this morning.
Our pleasure.
And I think the easiest example to give how this is misguided is, you know, ballots are being mailed out today. You know, if Facebook was actually doing this in an effort, as it states, to genuinely sort of achieve some integrity in its platform and political ads, it wouldn't do it 7 days before the election when every state at that point will have ballots out. And more so, it's tied to a really, really obtuse definition of social political ads that include any paid ad about the economy, for example, that could be deemed as policy relevant or about politics will end up getting sucked into this policy, which shuts down a whole bunch of speech intended and unintended to be caught in this policy.
Yeah, I don't see how they're going to actually be able to shut it down entirely. Now, of course, people, it's going to be on everybody's mind. I mean, Facebook has become, let's be honest, it's become a kind of like a, you want to go on something and really get your head battered, go on Facebook and express a political opinion. I mean, you all of a sudden, all of these people, it's amazing. And by the way, I must say, some of them are so funny, I laugh out loud at some of the things that they say, you know, in response to each other. It's always a one-up gotcha kind of political conversation.
Yeah, and that's really the beauty of Facebook is it's a platform for speech. And for the most part, as social media companies go, Facebook has been the most pro-free speech platform in the marketplace. You know, Twitter made a decision nearly a year ago to shut down all paid political ads. And Facebook stood up and said, we won't be making that decision, when other social media companies stood up and said that they would be taking down certain posts or limiting exposure of certain people. Facebook was typically the last to move in the name of free speech. So shutting down paid political ads in the week up to the election is a bit of a turn for the company. But also, I think it signifies that the anti-free speech types that would prefer that Facebook not exist at all are beginning to win in the conversation, unfortunately, because now you have Facebook, who stood up for free speech for some time and done its best to to defend itself from these accusations of bias or manipulation or being used as a tool for foreign interference, and is now sort of succumbing to that pressure and doing what really seems to be a PR stunt more than a policy move. Again, one week up to the election to limit paid political ads, where everyone will just run their ads 8 days before the election, and you've sidestepped the policy.
Yeah.
Again, just showing how it's PR and not real policy.
Are they getting cold feet? Are they kowtowing to somebody that's, you know, influential? What do you think?
I'm not sure, but you can look at the general tenor of the conversation around social media companies these days and understand the difficult position that Mark Zuckerberg finds himself in when he's getting attacked from all sides of the political aisle. I mean, if you've watched any of the recent hearings over the last 6 or 8 months with these companies, or even the one in July with the CEOs, including Mark Zuckerberg, they're getting beat up from all sides. Every decision they make, including this one, right, is getting picked on by people. And they're just in a really difficult position, and I think they're trying to make everybody happy. And by doing that, they're making no one happy.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be all politics for a while, especially now, between now and November the 3rd. I mean, if there is such a thing, even more political speech perhaps on Facebook and also on these other services. So it's not like... And then we're going to be, let's be honest, we're going to be, what's the word, all over television and radio, you're going to be hearing all of these commercials for politicians, you know, the presidential races and the local races and the congressional races. We're going to get a lot of it anyway. So I'm not so sure we're going to miss having an ad or two pulled from us on Facebook. But in the grand scheme of things, there is that concern about, is this intimidation that is driving the decision?
Yeah, I think in the scheme of things, the policy is minimal, right? The idea of just of shutting down new political paid political ads in the week up to the election is minuscule, as you say. But, you know, most people are scrolling past them or ignoring them anyway. But I think what it signals is a more troubling trend in these social media companies actually giving more credence to the anti-speech crowd. The folks that, quite frankly, the people who are probably cheering this policy on the loudest are ones that would cheer even louder if Facebook didn't exist at all.
Really?
And I think that's troubling, and it should be something that we should all be aware of as these conversations continue about the presence and the shape and the way in which these companies act, because after all, they're private companies that have probably done more to advance voices both on the left and the right than any other tool in the last 100 years. I mean, you think the number of political commentators and just quite frankly smart people that have found their voice and their audience through these platforms is tremendous, and to begin to walk those things back and take these tools away is going to do a disservice to our political discourse and quite frankly long-term do a disservice to free speech in America by allowing the loudest voices in the room to dominate the conversation in this way.
We're talking with Christopher Koopman. He is an executive director at the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State University, and talking a little bit about the decision by Facebook, I believe it was last week, they would block any new ads that were political 1 week prior to the presidential election, which is scheduled for November the 3rd. So let me ask you just more generally, Chris, about, and I think you kind of touched on it a little bit, about trying to regulate people that are, the regular participants in things like Facebook and Twitter and all of the others. When they come up with their political viewpoints, can a company like Facebook or Twitter, can they legally block people from talking politics? Because it seems to me if you try to do it, it's like a slippery slope. You know, you can't completely shut down any kind of speech that involves politics, because all of a sudden you're starting to shut almost everything else down too.
Yeah, so I think it's it is a slippery slope. And the first thing is, it's really easy to institute a policy like this for paid political ads, to say we aren't going to accept money and to allow you to target people to talk about these specific things. Regulating the general user, let's say you or I just going on and posting personally, they legally can do it. It's a very messy process when you think that there are billions of users across the world, and if you decide you want to limit a particular type of speech, now you have to have, you know, either an algorithm, which is really clunky at this point, limiting speech, and then you'll end up with a whole lot of speech getting taken down, or you're going to have to employ a lot of people, hire a lot of people to do this, and it's still a really messy process.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, legally, I think you're right. You can do it. You own the company. You can do it. But But the truth is, it wouldn't work. I mean, it wouldn't work even if you did everything you could possibly think of. When you talk about algorithms, which is a way for any word that comes up, a certain dictionary of words that stop the user from continuing to talk or whatever they do, shut it down at the moment. Even if you could do that, can you imagine what would happen with that? I mean, you could accidentally use a particular word in one way and they would be interpreted in another way and now you're shut down. I mean, I don't see how it would really work.
Yeah, and I think this goes, to go back to the definitions that Facebook is using for this policy, just to show how messy it is, even in this limited context, is the social political ads that they're limiting in you know, banning new ads in the week run up to the election. That policy includes topics such as the environment and the economy. So a research center like mine, for example, who does research on a whole host of issues, if we wanted to put an ad out that said something as simple as, you know, here's the latest research that outlines how people should cooperate more to improve the environment, and send it out as a paid political ad because of their definition, that would get limited. That has nothing to do with the election. Absolutely nothing to do with the election. None of our research has anything to do with the election, but as a research center, we're caught in the entire policy because of the nature of our research and the really broad definitions that Facebook uses. So, as you say, it would be extremely messy to, you know, even in this limited context, to do this for a week. Now, broaden it for a week for all users and say something like limiting speech about an election or something. Now you're talking extremely messy. I mean, it would be impossible to do this. But again, back to this policy, I think the policy itself isn't as much of an issue in the moment because most ballots will be out 3 weeks before this policy even goes to effect on the Facebook platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Most people already have their ballots in hand for 2 weeks before these ads get limited. Most people will probably have them mailed back before this policy even gets put
into
effect.
Yeah, you would think a week before the election, most people have made up their mind, haven't they?
Perhaps. You think at least in the current world we're living in today, with so many states going to mail-in voting, most people will probably already have their ballots mailed in.
That's true.
I mean, so mostly this is a signal to the folks who have been criticizing the company that they're trying to take a stand in the name of election integrity. But I think it's a more troubling trend that the company's willing to do something like this in response to those criticisms, as opposed to stand up on principles. As Mark Zuckerberg has said time and time again, they're a free speech platform. They exist to give people voice. He has said this time and again. This policy seems to undermine that statement that they are a free speech platform that exists to give people voice when they're explicitly using it to limit voice.
I know we can't look into the mind of Mark Zuckerberg to know what he is really thinking, but do you think he's trying to be, is he coming by this honestly, do you think, this decision?
Certainly, I have no reason to doubt that the company isn't trying to wade through a swamp of terrible decisions. I mean, there's nothing that the company could do at this point that isn't going to get criticized. I think part of the reasoning, at least in the statements that they put out, is that they're trying to ensure that at least a week before the election, there isn't some surprise campaign that undermines their content moderation policy can't catch in time. So they're trying to give enough of a window. There are good justifications that they've given, but I think the broader implications of this policy sort of call into question those statements. I think they understand that they can't limit this altogether, nor do they want to. But at the same time, they're trying to do something to show or signal externally prior to the election day that they've done something. They've taken some steps to limit interference or misinformation or, you know, whatever ill it is that people are accusing Facebook of encouraging these days.
Christopher, it was great talking with you about this. This is such an interesting topic. And this last point you just made, you know, the last week of the election, they start throwing some real dirt and some of those ads, you know, and before the other party can respond. I mean, all kinds of kind of bad stuff. But a very, very interesting conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Our pleasure. Christopher Koopman. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, Donald Trump, he's out and about, you know, going on the offensive as the election season is really gearing up now. We're going to talk a little bit about the Atlantic Monthly saying its story about Trump smearing the military, just the start. And we'll talk about all this with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network. So glad you joined us. By the way, this Atlantic magazine, which hardly anybody knows much about, used to be, you know, when magazines were in vogue, Atlantic was indeed one of the important ones, I guess you might say. But the editor-in-chief, Jeff Goldberg, said his magazine story about Trump calling Americans who died in battle, quote, losers and suckers, was just the tip of the iceberg. He says, I would fully expect more reporting to come out about this and more confirmation and new pieces of information in the coming days and weeks. He says, we have a responsibility. And we're going to do it regardless of what he says. Now, of course, they've received all kinds of backlash. And there's been about 15 people that have come out and said that Trump never said what he said, including his former Secretary of Defense. But Here's, finally, Goldberg says, we all have to use anonymous sources, especially in a climate where the president tries to actively intimidate. Oh, I see. So these people that supposedly are all these, you know, strong stand-up military types that were maybe accompanying Trump, we're going to all of a sudden cower because of words? I don't think so. Anyway, we brought in the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi. Andrew, is this just a hit job by Atlantic?
Paul, do you know who owns Atlantic Magazine?
Alfred E. Newman, I think.
Yeah, it should be. Anyway, it's Steve Jobs' wife owns the
That's
magazine.
Right. You are correct. She does own it.
Okay.
Yes.
And she is a big donor to Mr. O'Biden there. Is that his name, Joe O'Biden?
It's Joe. So anyway, no, excuse me. It's Joe Hyden. H-I-D-E-N.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anyway, she donated $500,000, you know, to the Biden campaign. So we know that it's a bunch of baloney. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Trump never said this. Look, Bolton doesn't even like Trump, and he says, hey, here's the truth.
Right.
You know, Paul, they're going to throw anything they can out because they're desperate, totally desperate of everything that is going on. Look at they're tearing up my hometown, Rochester. Keep it up.
They are.
Keep having these riots. You've got to do this. You know, these people are nuts, Paul. They're desperate. They're gonna start telling you pretty soon that Trump is wearing Depends because he can't control himself. That'll be the next thing, you know?
Is he really wearing Depends? I thought that Nancy Pelosi was wearing them, but I wasn't sure that Trump was.
She's wearing a shower cap so her hair don't get wet.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, so we've got all of this. It seems like more and more there are more people coming out to say that Donald Trump never said that. It would be hard to justify his saying that. Why would he have gone over there to Paris for that event to begin with if he wasn't planning on going to the cemetery and honoring our troops? By the way, this was a very big and costly battle, I believe, of World War I that we are talking about. And it just wouldn't make any sense for him to do that. You know, if he really didn't care about it, why would he go over there and make a big point of it?
Paul, we're wasting our breath talking about
it. Yeah, you are.
Because we know it never happened.
Yeah, let's go on. Yeah.
They're trying everything that they can. Let's go on to what's really happening here.
Okay.
Trump is making hamburger out of Biden, especially now that Biden's out in public.
So Trump holds another press conference yesterday. And by the way, he's out on the, you know, he's out and about today, but... he talks a lot about... Now, I wonder about this one. He says that if Biden wins, China wins because China will own this country. Well, China's not going to own the country because...
They already do.
They've already got a lot invested in the country now.
Do,
there's
Paul,
no question about it.
He's 100% right.
The only
He's biting back, Paul.
The only one that's going to really make a killing, well, besides Joe Biden himself when it comes to
Hunter,
China,
Hunter,
will be Hunter Biden. You know, he indeed would be making more on it. By the way, we got to get Hunter on the circuit along with Joe because maybe Hunter could, what's the word, interpret whatever Joe was saying behind his mask. I can't understand what Joe's saying.
They're bringing in what's his name there, Ozzy Osbourne's doing his interpretation.
Oh, that's right. Well, then it'll be much more comprehensible then. Yeah.
Paul, let me tell you, from now until November the 3rd, we're going to hear more riots. I'm quite sure a couple more black shootings by the policemen. And this is going to happen. There's probably 30 white people got shot by the policemen, but we're not hearing about that. Okay, they want to keep this going. They think this is going to make Trump lose. It's going to make Trump win even more, Paul. Look at these boat parades going on all over the country.
Yeah, there's another one.
4,000 boats I heard yesterday up in North Carolina somewhere.
So we got all these boat parades going on for Trump. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, so where are they coming, Paul? Their polls are all going goofy. Their desperation. They know they're going to lose. Look at, you don't even hear about Kamala Harris hardly, do you? They're keeping
I know.
Her out. They want to just a little bit here and there because they know they flubbed up everything. They've
yeah.
got nothing.
I just
They've
saw.
Got nothing.
I just saw this on the, and I don't mean to pile on Biden, but... You know, it's a political race, and he is running for president. Here is the stenographer for Biden. He said Biden's mental acuity has diminished in the last 4 years. He said he's lost the step. Now, this is his former White House stenographer, and he said that Biden's public speaking ability has deteriorated significantly. since he left office. He said
they're using him as a puppet, Paul.
He says it is a complete difference from what he was in 2017. The guy's name is Mike McCormick. By the way, he's willing to come out and put his name on the line. He worked for Biden. He worked as a White House stenographer for 15 years and with Biden from 2011 to 2017. And he said, quote, he's lost a step and he doesn't seem to have the same mental acuity as he did 4 years ago. He says he doesn't have the energy. He doesn't have the pace of his speaking. He's a different guy. I think a lot of people believe that, including the people around Biden who would know him best.
Well, there's one simple fact. He's 78 years old.
Yeah.
From 75 to 78, especially if you got dementia starting, you're going to deteriorate, okay? It's a shame the Democrats should actually be put away for senior abuse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're abusing this guy. They shouldn't put him out in public. Like I told you, they got Rich Little behind the curtain imitating his voice while he's got the mask on. Is he going to wear his mask during the debate, too?
I don't know, but I'm writing this down so I remember. You said between 75 and 78, one starts losing their mental acuity.
Well, I start losing it at 65. I can only imagine.
Well, then why am I talking to you and getting your thoughts if you've lost it?
Because see,
now
right,
I think about
my
it.
Thoughts are good, not that I'm lost.
Okay.
I'm speaking the truth. I say it like it is.
You do.
I don't care.
I think you do. I want to read to you a little bit from Molly Hemingway. Do you know who she is?
No.
Molly Hemingway comes on Fox News from time to time. She's a conservative. She writes for The Federalist, which I like. It's a
oh,
good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who
you
okay,
know.
Go ahead.
Okay. She says the media is lying about the election. She says election 2020 shaping up to be a deja vu all over again for the news media. And here are some of the headlines that have been coming out that she points to as examples. Quote, with 2 months to go, a steady presidential race, unquote. Amy Walter of the Cook Political Report. Another one, quote, the latest polls, the great non-tightening this week in the 2020 race, unquote. That's from two people from the New York Times, where indeed the polls are tightening. You can see it. They're tightening everywhere. There's no question about it. There's no question that the polls are tightening. All of the polls that showed Biden ahead by 14 points are dropping as we get closer to the election. Here's another one. Quote, in a time of disruption and unrest, the presidential race has changed little, unquote, from the Washington Post. I mean, where
well,
are they
know,
when they're talking about
it? Repeat of 2016. It's going to be a repeat, but I believe there's going to be about 20 million more people voting for Trump. Instead of 64 million, I think about 84 million.
Hey,
okay, so it can't be a repeat with 20 million more. And you know what else, Paul? Did you ever notice that if a citizen lies in court or to Congress, they call it perjury and they get fined or put in jail, right?
Yeah.
But if these candidates and everything are all lying and to the people, they call it politics.
That's true.
Okay. You know?
Yeah.
So what we're hearing today is just a bunch of baloney. We're going to see come election night, and I guarantee you, the only thing they're going to try and pull, like you said, back in 2000 with the Chads, with these mail-in ballots, they're going to try and pull something. And you know what? The people are too onto it, Paul. They could try to pull anything they want. But if they do, they might see more rioting coming from the other direction.
I don't see, you know, how anybody with a straight sense of what's going on would vote for Biden right now. I mean, I know there are people that don't like Trump. They don't like his personality. Well, I don't like all of his personality either. But for God's sake, forget about personalities, man. Let's look at what's going on in the country. I don't understand why people would put a person's personality in front of what in the hell is happening to our country.
Well, that just shows you the mentality of a lot of the American people. You give them an IQ scale, they got an IQ of 1. They have no clue of what's going on.
Well, I hope we don't have too many of those going to the polls.
Well, Paul, unfortunately, we do. Okay, there are going to be people. Let's face it. I see people with their little Biden stickers. They still got them on the. They see a lot of them now in, like, the 1985 Dodge minivans.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you'll see the Joe's Brew for Joe and this and that. They're the same cars that were on the Bernie cars. I mean, you can spot them a mile away.
So they have the old cars, and they're going around with the Biden?
That and then you see the ones driving with the mask on and their gloves inside their car. They got the Biden sticker on the back, too. I mean, there are a few of them. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just picturing that.
The landslide.
some old lady driving down the street with her gloves on and her mask.
It's not even an old lady, buddy. It's not even an old lady. I see young people.
I think I would drive off this. I would drive onto the sidewalk to let them.
I agree with you, but they are out there. You pay attention, you'll see them.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and they're trying to open their doors with their elbow and stuff. It's amazing. I've seen it too many
times.
Yeah,
I think you're right about that. You do have to wonder about them a little bit. But, the economy is still, although I'm looking here, and I hate to say this, but the stock market is down about 500 points right now. It's been very fluctuating.
It's going to go up and down like a roller coaster right now until this election.
I think you're right.
You know what? Look at through this whole pandemic. What's the unemployment now? 8.2%. Obama's best, he had 9-point-something unemployment. And that was when everything was supposed to be good, wasn't it?
The unemployment rate actually did drop in August. It's been coming back. I mean, people have to admit it. There's 1.5 million fewer people on unemployment in the latest numbers. So that's good news as well. So indeed, our country is coming back. And here's, Biden does seem to be kind of missing things. He should say, I'm not going to shut down. First of all, he can't shut down the country. But he should come out and say, I'm not going to shut down the country. Because we need to get people back to work, and we're starting to understand how to deal with this virus.
Well, he's saying the total opposite. He's saying if he hits them, they're professionals, he'll do whatever they tell him. You tell him to shut it down, you're going to shut it down.
I'll tell you, that's why...
It's scary.
When is the first debate? I guess we've got one coming...
It's terrible, September the 29th. It should be this week.
Well, I'm kind of wondering if by that point Biden will be in a nursing home. But I guess he can do it virtually from a nursing home, can he? A debate.
They'll have him right there. They'll have the camera, and they'll have, what's his name, Ozzy Osbourne, again, interpreting what he's saying there. So don't worry about it.
Okay. I want to make sure that that Biden gets an opportunity. And that would be good. All right. Andrew, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. You always perk up the day. And I'm looking forward to our discussions on Friday.
You got it, buddy. You have a good day.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Trump be with you.
May the Trump be with you. All right. There he goes. The master barber himself. All right. We are going to take our final break. When we come back in another edition of Campus Quackery, two tales from Washington and Lee University.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best hair cutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
We are back. Final segment of Freedom Works here on a Tuesday, and it's time for a little campus quackery. We have got a story from two stories from Washington and Lee University. Thanks, Wilbur. I was wondering if Wilbur was still alive. You were licking your chops there the other day, Ed. But I see that he's still happy and healthy.
Well, you learned that if you give out his location twice, somebody's going to take a shot. It's hunting season.
Yeah, remember the. Yes, indeed. Okay, but Washington and Lee University coming under scrutiny because they got a course now. Think about this. You're a young freshman just coming out of high school, and they offer you a course called How to Overthrow the State. How to Overthrow the State. Now, what the heck are they doing with your tax money on this one? Officially titled Writing Seminar for First Years, in other words, for freshmen, the course places students in, quote, the head of a popular revolutionary movement aiming to overthrow a sitting government and forge a better society. Okay. And they go on to say, from Frantz Fanon to Che Guevara to Mohandas Gandhi and others, we explore examples of revolutionary thought and action from across the global South. Students who take the course will produce, quote, a manifesto drafting a white paper that critically analyzes a particular issue and then write a persuasive essay on rewriting history and confronting memory. Here's what Newt Gingrich said, former House of Representatives speaker. The alumni should rise up and show how to overthrow a crazy college administration. All right. And the second story from there. It's actually from George Washington University, not Washington and Lee, so I stand corrected. But a professor there who pretended to be black, when in fact she was white and Jewish, will no longer teach her black history course. She wasn't black. She was white and Jewish. Isn't that funny that she got away with it for all this time?
It's working for Kamala Harris.
I tell you what, she says, many of you understand and have many questions in the wake of the Medium posted by George Washington faculty member Jessica Krug, read the announcement. While the university reviews this situation, Dr. Krug will not be teaching her black history class this semester. Okay, I think not. I don't know. What do you think about all those students that she's had all those years that she, you know, she taught? I wonder, if you see a picture of her, she's a little dark complected. She could get away with it a little bit.
Well, I mean, was she teaching the right things?
She might have been teaching a very good course.
Then what's wrong with her? I mean,
why would she have to lie about it?
Well, that's true. But, I mean, do you have to teach sex education if you're a woman or a man or whatever it is or, you know, any subject, world history? Do you have to be a historian or just a good teacher?
I mean that's right. You should be just a good teacher.
I mean, what about teaching about Native Americans? Do we have to bring in a Native American to teach that course? Or, I mean, there's historians that are great at that, whether they're white, black, whatever.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that she lied, I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, and she actually came out and, well, it's because she was found out. But then she wrote a piece saying, you know, how terrible it was that she did that. But it's like after you got caught with your hand in the cookie
jar. Be interesting what some of her students say about her.
Really? Now, she does claim, this Krug lady, that she has been dealing with mental health issues since childhood. She has authored several books on black history. So, very interesting. All right. There you go. It is time, Ed, for our top 10, and I'm going to have to get Ed to get over on the drums because we have a very good one. These are the top 10 greatest mystery movies from Hollywood. Now, Ed, I'll be honest with you. All of these movies were made before you were born, and many of them were made before I was born, but they're big-name movies, okay? So I don't expect you to know the names of the movies.
Okay.
But it's from the American Film Institute. They all come from the 20th century. Top 10 Greatest Hollywood Mystery Movies. Here we go. Number 10. 1995, The Usual Suspects.
You said 1995?
Yeah.
But why'd you say they were going to be before my time?
I didn't say that. I said they would. Oh, well, I said most of them would be.
Oh,
I said
most. Okay.
Yeah. I would say most of them are before
your time. All right, so what was that one?
It's called The Usual Suspects.
Never heard of it.
1995. Okay. Number 9. Dial M for Murder. It was a Hitchcock movie, 1954.
Okay.
You ever heard of
I've
it?
I've heard of it,
Ray
yeah.
Ray Milland was
yeah.
in it. Okay. Number 8. Blue Velvet.
No.
I didn't see the movie. It was made in 1986. I've heard of it, but I don't recall. Number 7. Now, this one, if you're an Alfred Hitchcock fan, maybe at the top of your list, it's called North by Northwest.
Mm-mm.
Cary Grant, did you never saw the movie?
No.
It is a good one to rent or see on Turner, 1959. Number 6, The Maltese Falcon. You ever hear that one?
That sounds familiar.
Humphrey Bogart movie. It's actually a movie that turned him into a leading man. He used to play the gangster types, and this movie kind of turned him around. Number 5, The Third Man. Famous novel by Graham Greene, The Third Man. Orson Welles, 1949. Okay. All these movies are on Turner, so you get a chance to see them. Number 4, Laura. I know you don't know it. 1944. Clifton Webb was in it. What was her name? I cannot think of the actress that starred in the title role. But it was a pretty good movie. Number 3. Rear Window. Did you hear about that one, Ed?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, that was a Jimmy Stewart movie.
Mm.
Remember the guy that played Perry Mason?
Yeah.
Raymond Burr, you remember him?
Raymond Burr, yeah.
He was the heavy, as it were. He was the bad guy in this movie.
Mm.
It was really a well-done movie. Very, very well done by maybe one of the best he ever did, Alfred Hitchcock. Number 2, Chinatown. Now tell me you did hear about that one.
I heard of the horror movie Chinatown. Nancy Pelosi begs everybody to come down during the COVID. There is no COVID. That's, come on down.
That's Chinatown 2. This is Chinatown,
okay.
The original. Jack Nicholson? You didn't see it, I guess. It, about the water issue in Los Angeles? Okay.
The one I saw was followed up by the movie... Mystery at the Hair Salon, starring Nancy
indeed.
Pelosi.
Yes, and that was a horror movie.
Yeah.
This is the one I'm talking about. It's a mystery movie, okay?
Okay.
All right. We've come to the number one. I don't expect you to know it, but I'm going to tell you the year and that it was an Alfred Hitchcock movie. 1958 Alfred Hitchcock movie.
So something like Psycho wouldn't be in there.
Hey! Is that your guess?
Yeah.
I tell you what, that's close, but it's not it.
Mm.
Roll the drum.
I did.
Oh, I'm sorry. The number one movie, Vertigo. Have you ever heard of Vertigo? You got to see it.
What year was that?
1958. It was Jimmy Stewart.
Oh,
he had
God.
A fear of heights. And this is the thing about this movie. Obviously, in this movie, he gets stuck going up the wooden stairs of a bell tower. It was really well done.
What a shame.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you so very much for listening. We are going to be back on Friday. Hope you had a good Labor Day weekend. Remember, freedom works. Ow! Knock it out.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
AP News. I'm Ed Donahue. Congress is back in session, but hopes are dim that a deal can be worked out on a new coronavirus economic relief bill. President Trump thinks House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer are looking ahead to Election Day.
Because they think that if the country does as badly as possible, even though a lot of people are being hurt, that's good for the Democrats.
After talks broke down last month, Speaker Pelosi said Democrats aren't budging.
Why should there be a bill that has a far less what the public needs
We have that responsibility.
The top executives at 9 drug makers likely to produce a coronavirus vaccine signed a pledge meant to boost public confidence in any approved vaccines. On NBC's Today Show, Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla talked about test results.
Our model, our base case, predicts that we will have an answer by the end of October. Of course. This is only a prediction.
There are worries the FDA will be under political pressure to approve a vaccine before tests can prove it is safe and effective. Winds are picking up. It's hotter in California, and more people are being evacuated from areas hit by wildfires. Shannon Thornton's home is gone, and it was a close call.
Somebody knocked on the door, said that they needed to be evacuated. He got his stuff and the dog and dog food and headed on out. Before you know it, this is what happened to our house.
California's largest utility is turning off power to customers to try to prevent power lines and other equipment from sparking more fires. The remaining riders on the Tour de France are clear to continue racing after undergoing coronavirus tests. But the director of the tour, Christian Prudhomme, tested positive and had to leave the race. House Democrats will investigate whether the Postmaster General, Louis DeJoy, encouraged employees at his business to contribute to Republican candidates and then reimburse them in the guise of bonuses. This is AP News.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit identifyepi.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Monday, Rays visiting the Nationals in Washington, and the Nationals took control of this game fairly early.
It was hot. Here's a swing and a ground ball down the left field line, and that's fair. It goes into the corner, and Turner can run. Over to go get it is Meadows. Turner around third. He's being waved home. Throw to the plate, too late. Into second base goes Kurt Suzuki. It's an RBI double, and it's 3-0 Nationals here in the third.
Charlie Morton did go 5 innings in his second start off the injured list, but Max Scherzer threw 7 shutout frames. The Rays did get on the board in the 8th, though.
Randy waits on the 1-2 pitch from Rainey, and he swings and drives one into left field. Back at it is Taylor. He turns around, and it's gone! Randy Arozarena. It's his 4th home run of the season, and it's a 6-1 ball game.
But Tampa Bay falls by a 6-1 score. Same two teams wrap up the series Tuesday, airtime at 5:30. With the Rays Report, I'm Neil Solons.
For information on the Rays, visit RaysBaseball.com.
Calling all patriotic Americans. Listen to Only in America with Bill Cochran. Tuesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Only in America is brought to you by MyPillow. Get Mike Lindell's best offer ever. Get 30% off the MyPillow bed topper and get 2 free MyPillows. MyPillow gives you a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Call 1-800-954-9168 or order online at MyPillow.com. Use promo code Bill. That's promo code Bill.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Enough.